Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Because I see a bunch of you wearing name tags today. Hooray, you're going to be such a big help to me because I want so much to get to know you. This week we're going to be continuing our search for calm ways to communicate with others during times of conflict. And we're doing this because we want to journey together to know God, to love God, and to serve God. An important part of this journey is when we're baptized, and today we're baptizing two children, one at 9:30 and one at 11. At 9:30, it is Leela Briggs, and at 11, it is Benjamin Haas, son of Olivia and Steve Haas. So congratulate all of them when you see them. I also heard from a little bird that there's a 90th birthday in our midst today, and it's David Osterhoff. So where's David? David, you want to? There you are. Happy birthday. Now, if you're joining us online or if you're joining us in person, we're glad you're here. We want to get connected with you. We want to learn what you're interested in being about here at this congregation. So we ask you to fill out a connection card. They're in your bulletin, or if you're with us online, you can go to the website and click on worship, and you will find a place to sign in. In addition, if you'd like us to be praying with you, if there's something in your life that you need prayers, or you want prayers for someone you care for, you can fill out one of those yellow prayer request cards that are in the pew racks, and we will pray with you. You can put all those cards right into the offering plate, and we will be grateful for that. Our worship leaders today are Randy Clausen and Bruce Stark. We always enjoy having both of them. And so now I'd like to invite the children to go to Sunday school. And parents, you may take your children to nursery. If you need help finding it, an usher will help you to do that.
Father's glory, please. Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord God, we lift our souls to you in worship. Lighten our darkness and bring us closer to you. Guide our actions and our words so that others will know that God is an awesome God in whom we trust and believe. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Our baptism family to come forward now at this time. Come on up, boys. Come stand around the baptism font. All right, you find a good spot here. Got to be up front and center to see what your sister's doing this morning. All right. Amen. Well, today we celebrate the baptism of a beautiful child of God. On this day, we gather to celebrate the water that will be washed upon Leela's head. We celebrate that it is a sign of God's loving grace. And so this morning, we rejoice and we gather this day, knowing that brothers and sisters in Christ, through baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty act of salvation, and we are given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this wonderful thing that's going to happen for your sister this morning is a beautiful gift from God, a free gift from God without price.
And so I present for baptism Leela Patricia Briggs, who's the daughter of Erica and Brandon Briggs.
Amen. So Brandon and Erica, I have some questions for you, as well as Pastor Lynn. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, please say, I do.
Do you accept the freedom and the power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they may present themselves.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has made open to people of all ages and nations and races? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
And will you nurture these children in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, Leela may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will.
And to the church family gathered here, I have a question for you. Do you, as Christ's body, the church here today, do you also reaffirm your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? Let us say together the words that will be on the screen.
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ.
We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness.
That she may grow in her service to others.
We will pray for her that she may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. And now let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and the New Testament. My friends, do you believe in God the Father?
We believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended to the dead,
and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated on the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
And do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. Well, boys, can you guys come gather around here? I have something special here. This is called a baptism font. I'll just set the lid over here on the altar here. This is a baptism font. And in a moment, I'm going to fill it up with some water. I need some helpers. Anybody want to help me? Want to be a helper? Awesome. All right, we got it. Did it get you a little bit? Did it get you a little bit? That's all right. You can remember your baptism, too. All right, we get the water filled in. Water has played a very special role in the life of the Christian faith and the life of the Christian tradition. You guys want to put your fingers in it?
Gosh, it's so cold.
It's cold, isn't it?
Uh-oh.
We're going to say a special blessing on this water as we remember that the water has played a special role in the life of our Christian faith. We remember that when nothing existed but chaos, God swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. And then we remember that in the days of Noah, have you ever studied the Noah's Ark story? Noah's Ark story, a big old boat, a big old ark, and all those animals that, okay, you know that story. And on the time of Noah's Ark, God saved us through the water and brought forth the rainbow. Then we remember the story of the water where God let the people escape slavery in Egypt and brought them to freedom. And then we remember the story of Jesus' baptism at the Jordan River and how John was a part of that baptism. It was on the Sea of Galilee then that water also played an important role for the people of faith as Jesus called those to join in his ministry and a work of Christ out there on the water. And so across time and history, water has played an important role in our Christian story and tradition. I know you both boys have been baptized, but this morning we're going to be baptizing your sister. And in a moment, we're going to put some water on her head, and it's going to be a sign and a symbol of how much God loves her. So every time you see water, and you two boys, every time you see water, whether it's the swimming pool in the summertime, or taking a bath at night, or throwing some water balloons. Every time you see water, it can be a sign to remember how much God loves you. Let's bless this water. May you pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and to those who will receive it, that it may wash away their sin, clothe them in righteousness, that throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in Christ's final victory. Amen.
Amen.
Well, if Leela feels up for it, she's willing to come to me.
Yes.
All right. Amen. You ready for this?
I think she's smiling now.
All right. Well, we're just going to put a little water on her head. Hopefully it's not too scary. Leela, I baptize you in the name of the Father. And of the Son.
Oh, like that.
Yeah. And of the Holy Spirit. Want to place a hand on her? Or kind of gather around? We're going to share a blessing for her.
You don't need to put water.
Yeah, let's put our hand. Come, you can put your hand on her, too.
Okay. All right, feels good.
All right. She's going to get good and wet.
May the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born of water and the Spirit, you be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Bo and Hudson. You guys did a great job with your little sister. Amen. Amen. We're almost done.
And now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. So please join in reading the baptismal response, which will be on the screen.
Through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as members of the family of Christ.
Amen.
Members of the household of God, I commend this child to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. And we respond.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love.
As members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully, to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
May the God of all grace be with us this day as we too remember our baptisms and we are thankful. May the peace of Christ be with you, Leela. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's welcome. And we have some gifts from the church to help her grow in her knowledge and in love of God. We share with you a baby Bible and a beautiful baptism blanket as well.
Thank you.
Amen. Do we have some helpers to help hold some stuff? Amen.
That was so wonderful and touching. I'm going to be reading the scripture today, and I read James 3, 5 through 12. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body and sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it is set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings. Human beings who have been made in God's likeness, out of the same mouth comes praise and cursings. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Randy, for reading the scripture lesson for us this morning. I'd invite you to join me in a word of prayer. Hear these words of prayer from Joanne Carlson Brown. Loving and caring God, we come this morning seeking wisdom and guidance for our lives. Open us to your words of life and love and truth. May we proclaim with our tongues that what we know in our hearts. In this time of worship, help us to more fully understand what it means to truly be a disciple, to follow in the way of Christ, and be a follower on the path of wisdom. Loving God, may the words of our mouths, may the meditations of our hearts, may it be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. In Christ's holy name we pray, amen. Well, church, I've been known from time to time to let some words escape from my mouth without thinking. I've been known to say something and then later I wish I hadn't said that and the word just kind of fell out of my mouth. Can anybody maybe relate to that? Mm-hmm. Don't have to raise your hand. You're just thinking in your mind, okay? And there's been no moments in my lives where that filter was left, and I felt like I just put my foot in my mouth, and, you know, maybe you can relate to that thought. And while certainly not necessarily my best moments, you know, or my proudest moments, apparently those are moments that I guess are maybe common for other people as well, because the author from the book of James this morning writes of this tendency in this third chapter from the book of James, a very short chapter. You could go home and read it all today. It's only 5 chapters long. I'd encourage you this week to read the book of James. It's only 5 chapters. Well, as James writes of those moments when our tongue is getting the best of us, he's writing of those moments when our tongue is used to speak words of praise to God. And then, almost as if another breath happens just next, then we are also made that using that same tongue to curse people or say things that are coming out of our mouths which we wish we hadn't said. Those very words towards people that were made in the beautiful image and likeness of God. Out, there's this paradox, out of our mouth come praises to God and curses to people, writes James. So no human being can tame the tongue. If you listen to the scripture reading that Randy was reading for us, we can't tame the tongue, James writes. And maybe we can't tame it entirely, but perhaps there's work that can be done. So I think that's our challenge as disciples of Christ, myself included, of course. This third week of our sermon series, as we're doing the series on calm communication, we're thinking about the words that get shared over our different conversations with friends and family and neighbors in a variety of situations, whether it's past or present times and dialogue. We're thinking about all these different words and these conversations that we have of those 7,000 words that we speak on average, and some of those words and conversations get misunderstood and conflict takes place. In this sermon series, as we're talking about communication and keeping things cool in those stressful moments and coming to a resolution, hopefully we're adding to toolbox things of what to do. Pastor John was sharing us with some good, helpful things to do. When we started the sermon series off, I was sharing some things of not to do when in conflict. Remember that story I was sharing about Herod and Herodias, the things not to do of how to handle conflict? The story of this tension between this husband and wife, and anyway, John the Baptist's head gets stuck in the middle of it, and he gets beheaded, and it's a situation of how not to handle conflict. And then Pastor John last week was preaching on Matthew 18 of a better image of how we could handle conflict in the midst of tension. Well, this week we're going to build upon this conversation as we're thinking at what the book of James has to share with us. And one key finding from James is that our pesky tongue can get the best of us. And sometimes, in the midst of conflict or miscommunication, our tongue just says things we wish we hadn't said. If we would have just maybe played it cool. cool a little bit. Maybe playing it cool is helpful for us to consider. Play it cool. Eh? So the 1957 great musical, West Side Story, debuted, and it had the Jets and the Sharks. They hit the scene in New York City, and we meet the great characters of Tony and Maria. They're dancing, they're singing their way from different cultures and communities into the high school gym, and they meet and they instantly fall in love. You've seen it maybe on film or the musical, right, on Broadway. But their love is challenged because Tony is one of the Jets, and Maria's family is part of the Sharks, and they're rival gangs, and they're fighting for territory, they're fighting for turf, and now they're fighting over love. And when things heat up between these gangs and this big rumble is on the horizon, the Jets gang leader, Riff, he breaks out into song and he challenges the Jets to play it cool. Choir, I should have given you notice. Ready to sing it? Right? Ready to sing it? Well, from the 1957 musical, Riff sings, I'm not going to sing it, but he says, boy, boy, crazy boy, get cool, boy, got a rocket in my pocket, keep coolly cool, boy, don't get hot, because, man, you've got some high times ahead. Take it slow, daddy-o. You can live it up and die in bed. Boy, boy, crazy boy, stay loose, boy. Breeze it, buzz it, easy does it. Turn off the juice, boy. Go, man, go, but not like a yo-yo schoolboy. Just play it cool, boy. Real cool. Now you got to go home and watch the musical. You can find it on Netflix probably. Well, playing it cool, it isn't always so easy. It takes practice to become a non-anxious presence in the midst of miscommunication, or in the midst of a room that feels tension-filled, or in a conflict. Staying cool, remaining non-anxious as Riff challenges his gang members there to play it cool, it takes practice over time. It causes us to pause, to take a breath, to take a moment and maybe even try to see things from somebody else's perspective. I think perspective has something to do with the dynamics of miscommunication or conflict. Perspective. Oftentimes when we're in the midst of a situation, oftentimes when we're in a situation and we're arguing about a position or things, maybe we're just seeing things from a different perspective, right? So if I were to hold up this piece of paper, right? What do you see?
Six.
Some people would say you see a six. But if I turn it over like this,
nine.
A nine or a G, right? You can see different things from different perspectives, of course. Okay. All right. What do you see? It's like the eye doctor. What do you see? This eye, right? What do you see? A W, right? But perspective makes an impact depending upon how you're looking at it. Now maybe you see an M, right? Perspective makes a difference depending upon where you're standing, depending upon how you're looking at things. From the book of James, we receive a fairly strong teaching about the power of our tongue to praise God in a moment, and the next moment we're cursing people. But the power of our tongue is ready to fight for our position, to fight from our perspective. But if it changes, maybe we can see something different. Maybe if we're ready to fight for our perspective, maybe we need to look things different. If someone's ready to fight and give it their all and prove that they saw a six, but another person saw a G or a nine, simultaneously, both people could be right. But in that moment, in that heated debate, what's happening with our tongue when we're ready to say, no, it's a G, no, it's a six, no, it's a nine, no, it's a W, no, it's an M? Maybe they're both a little right, depending upon our perspective. Perhaps why some of our miscommunication takes place, why this conflict arises, is all about perspective and our life experiences. And before we're jumping in and letting our tongue get the best of us in those fighting words, maybe we need to pause and take a breath and try to play it cool like Riff challenges us and try to practice a calm presence in that moment. I have a friend who's a psychologist. I have a couple of psychologist friends, but thinking of one good friend of mine who's a psychologist, and she's been sharing over the past couple of years since the onset of the pandemic, the past couple of years, she has seen such an increase of clients that people have reached out for a little more help and support during this time. And visiting with my friend, the psychologist friend, she shared how helpful counseling can be for people who have space to write, process their thoughts, their feelings, their relationships, whatever's on their mind, to process challenging conflict situations. And when I was talking with my friend a few weeks ago, she reminded me of the power of breath. That in the midst of tension-filled situations, when facing conflict, when we're ready to have our fists tightened or our jaws tightened, in the midst of a situation where we just feel like we're going to be like a tea kettle that's going to, you know, lose the steam, she's reminding me of the power of breath. She works a lot with couples counseling and also some teenagers as well. And sometimes she practices with clients. She literally gives them activities and, you know, exercises to do, just like you go to PT for your, you know, to rehab on your knee or something, or your hip after a surgery. She works with clients and she gives people exercises of things to do. She was sharing that sometimes people forget to breathe when they're in the midst of a conflict, and their breath becomes shallow, and they even hold their breath, or they clench their jaw, and they forget to breathe. And she shared with me an easy tactic. It's one I've learned to practice. You breathe in for 3 slow counts. You hold it for 3 and you exhale out for 3. If there's any yogis in the room, then you know the power, yoga practices, right? Yogis, I think it is. If there's any yoga practicing folks in the room, you know the power of breath. But theologically, there's also a great power of breath in our narrative, as our scripture stories. The time of creation, God breathed in breath into all of creation. And so every time when we breathe in a deep breath, we're breathing in the loving grace of God. And every time when we're in the midst of a conflict, looking at somebody in the eyes, we can breathe in the breath of God and look at them in the eyes, no matter how frustrated we might be, but we can look at them and breathe in that breath and be reminded that they are a beautiful creation of God. Plus, it's pretty hard to let our tongue get the best of us. It's easier way to tame it. It's hard to let your tongue get the best of you when you're doing this breathing thing. Right? In for 3, hold for 3, out. James reminds us that no human can maybe tame the tongue. Maybe we can't tame it entirely, but I think that's our challenge as disciples. So this week, may we embrace and continue to lean into a calmer communication practice, seeking to see things from somebody else's perspective, and seeking to look into their eyes and see a beautiful divine child of God as well. Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, we breathe in your loving grace. And we exhale out tension and stress and conflict. Holy and loving God, we breathe in your peace and your mercy. And we exhale out hatred and injustice in this world. Loving God, we breathe in joy. And we breathe in the assurance of your forgiveness through Jesus Christ our Lord. We breathe in the passion and the grace that you have for us and that call to share it with all of the world. And we breathe out uncertainty. And we breathe out all that doesn't settle right in our system this day. Come, Holy Spirit, rest upon us this day as we experience your loving grace. Amen.
Thank you, choir. That was absolutely wonderful. God is good.
All the time.
All the time. Amen. As we enter into a time of prayer, I want to call your attention to the two wonderful prayer quilts we have. One is for Jason, one is for Heather. As you walk out of the sanctuary this morning, please stop at the table. Tie a knot. While you're tying a knot, say a prayer, and then sign the card. Let Jason and Heather know that we're praying for them. And now I'd like to pray for them collectively. Our Heavenly Father, please raise your hand towards the quilts. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless these quilt recipients and give them strength, courage, patience, and faith to face the weeks and months ahead. We ask your blessings on their family, friends, and the medical personnel helping them. May these prayer quilts be a constant reminder of God's love and hope, and of the thoughts and prayers of those who tie knots and say prayers for them. Help us to be reminded that two things are always with us, peace and love. The prayers we say for others wrap them in peace and comfort them like a warm quilt. Prayers are tangible evidence of the love we share with them. Amen. Now, as I was listening to Lindsay's sermon today, I was thinking, I really don't think it's a coincidence that she happens to be preaching on people who open their mouth, insert foot, close mouth at the same day that I'm doing worship host. I kind of think that wasn't a coincidence. I think that if I was to stand up here and tell you about all the times that I open my mouth, insert my foot, and close my mouth, we could be here till Tuesday afternoon, so I think I'll just pass on that. I did have a friend that wrote a song called Peppermint Socks, and I thought that was really cool. Peppermint socks are for those of us that put our foot in our mouth quite often, and the peppermint kind of makes that a little bit easier. I think I've been through about 47 pairs of peppermint socks myself. With that all being said, let's go to an attitude of prayer. Good and gracious God, God who created the heavens and earth, all men and women in your image, and all the wonders in nature. We bring you praise and glory. It is through your grace that gives us hope, and through your love that gives us strength. Our lives are filled with admiration at your wonders and thankful for your love. We come this morning humble, anxious, and eager to learn all the things that you have in store for us. We wait in eager anticipation of all the wonderful things we have coming into our lives. We know that through you and the Holy Spirit, our lives are touched as they can be touched in no other way. To give us peace, to give us hope, and to give us reassurance that you are there for us, helping us, leading us, guiding us to find a better way. Slow us down, Lord, and open our ears to that small voice that we miss so many times rushing around in our day-to-day lives. Let us hear your word that we may share that word with others and be with them at their time of need. Open our eyes that we may see all the wonders of the universe that you created for us, that we may experience all that life has to offer and all that you have to give. Open our hearts that we may be there for others that are in need of your love, and help us to do your work so that they may feel your love through us and know that you are there for them. We also pray for the people that need you the most, those that don't know yet that they need your help. Help us help them find your way to know your love and to know that you are with us and them every step of the way, to know that even when things seem at their worst, we can turn to you and know that you are there. Guide our leaders, Lord, the world leaders, the national, state, and local leaders, that the decisions that they make in this world are tempered with your love, guided by your hand, and blessed by your word. Help them to see clear that the decisions that they make today may be the best for all of us. Show us, Lord, that we may find the best you have in store for us, and that we can turn that around and do the best that we can to honor and praise you, to love those around us as you show love for us. Help us to show that same love to others, working together to make this world whole and to honor you as we do. Now in this time of silent meditation, we ask for your ear to hear our concerns, our thoughts, and to ask your help on our problems, as well as to hear our praises of you for all the glorious things that you have provided for us in our lives. Now we come to you as your children, seeking to learn, seeking to love, seeking to share in the name of your holy and precious Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And don't forget, God loves you, and there ain't a darn thing he can do about it. Amen.
Thank you, Bruce. Well, we come now to the time in our service when we think about how we can serve God. And we have a wonderful way coming up very soon, October 16th. There is going to be a crop walk. And I know that a lot of you have walked in crop walks, and I have too. But we have a video to help us to know about this year's crop walk that was put together by the Kushners, Mary and Greg. So let's watch that video.
Good morning, First Church. I'm here at the Torch today, and as you can see, this is a lot of the food that we get that goes out every week. I heard a horrifying statistic this morning on the radio that hunger kills one person every 4 seconds in the world. That means that during our church service, approximately 900 people on this planet will die of hunger-related causes. The Torch food truck provides food for approximately 124 families each week. Thanks to the donations of local organizations like Torch, or like Trader Joe's, who gives us all this food, local farmers who provide a lot of the extra food that they haven't sold at the farmer's market, and your generous donations. The crop walk is coming up, and the crop walk, of course, is one of our big fundraisers to help with world hunger. It's gonna be different this year. The crop walk is on October 16th. It's a Sunday, and it's going to be from 1 to 3, and instead of just walking a 3.2 mile path, we are going to be walking around the church grounds and getting an education about world hunger from different groups. The Torch food truck will be there to share what they do. Bountiful Harvest will be available so you can see what they do. And Love Inc., which is our other local organization that some of our crop money goes to, will be there to share with us. As you walk around, you're going to learn about our organizations, and you're also going to learn about world hunger and the different things that we can do to help. Our money does so many different things, and we hope that you will walk this year and help us raise money. Ask your friends and family to donate and help us raise money so that we can make world hunger a thing of the past. So thank you.
So after the service, you can look for Greg in the fellowship hall, and he'll have your envelopes if you're planning to walk. And if you hadn't signed up to do that yet, I think you can talk to Greg. Greg, where are you? There. All right. Greg's over here, and he's got a name tag on, and it says Crop Walk on it too, I think. So you can look for Greg. All right. Now I invite the ushers to come forward to receive our offerings.
Sacrifice of praise to your table through the offerings we make today. Bless these gifts and guide us to use them to bring peace of your understanding to the world. Amen.
Lord, I walk on this floor.
announcements of great classes coming up I want to make sure you know about. First, a group is starting next week at 9:30 for folks in the 20s, 30s, 40s kind of age group, demographic category and stage of life. They're going to be meeting up in the chapel, a Sunday school class for the young-ish kind of population of our congregation while maybe their kids are in Sunday school or nursery. You're invited to help spread the word. Starts next Sunday under the leadership of Stephanie Wallace up in the chapel. Another class opportunity, Pastor John as well as Mike Nickoff are going to be leading a short 3-week study on Mere Christianity, a book by C.S. Lewis. That class is going to be starting on Monday night, October 10th at 7 o'clock. So I'd encourage you to consider that class. And then the last announcement of an opportunity is I'm going to be leading a fall new member class. So if you have been worshiping with us for some time and are ready to say that this is going to be my church home, I would love to invite you to be a part of it. Or if you've been worshiping with us for years and yet you haven't made that commitment to say, yes, this is my church home, I'd also invite you to be a part of that new member class. It's going to be Tuesday nights starting October 11th at 8 o'clock. I invite you to chat with me for more information. Church, may you go forth with the love of God in your hearts, the peace of Jesus always with you, and the power of the Holy Spirit helping you to breathe in God's love and grace and look at those in the eye with whom we might disagree and see a beloved, beautiful child of God. May we seek to look at perspective differently this week and be calm communicators on this journey as we follow Christ. Go forth this day. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.